Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Dutton, my man.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Hi Jeff, hi Tim.
Hello.
Wow, another episode.
Not only another episode, but get a load of this. Spring has sprung.
Ooh, you don't say.
Yep.
It does have a way of doing that, don't it?
I don't know about you guys, but I've been spending most of my days, I put on a white suit and I walk into the park and I smell flowers all day.
Mm-hmm. I pick a daisy and I raise it to my nostrils.
Haven't seen these in about 6 months, you'll say.
Well, in the winter I was doing the same thing, but with snow.
But wearing a black suit so people can see it.
That snow smells beautiful. Just,
cupping a bunch of snow in your hands and bringing it to your lips.
You guys ever had a drink of Kronenbourg 1664? I'm drinking one of these right now.
Oh, yeah.
Is it
good looking
beer
bottle
by David Kronenbourg?
Yeah.
Body horror auteur?
Ooh, that guy's got problems, man.
Yeah, he's a little twisted.
I saw one of his movies once. I was like, this guy's got problems. I was saying that to the ticket taker on the way out. That movie, that guy's got problems in there.
And did the ticket taker run in there?
No, he's like, well, do you want your money back? And I was like, no, but that, you got to warn people. That guy's got problems.
I'll tell you what I want is I want some of what that guy was smoking.
Yeah, really? No, thanks. I saw a movie recently called, Jeff, you saw it too. I believe it was called...
Possessor.
Possessor by his son.
Yes.
His son made it. And it's wild. It was, Cronenberg I liked it a lot. It's kooky. A little rough.
Hulu, right?
You know, I don't recall.
Well, people, you can find it if you want.
Possessor.
It's a scary thriller.
And then while you're doing it, get a Cronenberg 1664. Yeah, I don't know what this tastes like. This is like it's an imported from France beer, and it's a very pilsnery, and I don't mind it at all.
Pilsnery. Listen to this guy. He's getting notes of Pilsner.
I'm getting notes.
I'm happy you like the 1664 because the 1665, dog shit.
Well,
the 1663 makes you want to spew.
It's not quite there.
It's not the 64.
You guys want to get into some
booze news?
Oh. Yeah, hit it.
All right.
Oh, Danny boy.
Oh, I don't know if I like this.
Call in. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses fall in. Tis you, must go and I abide.
All right,
beautiful.
Jeff.
That nice. Was sent to us by Andrew Pottle, and he was using a little audio from when we forced Jeff to sing Danny Boy without knowing how it goes.
Yeah, thanks,
that
Daniel.
Was great.
Wait, what's his name again? Daniel.
Andrew Pottle.
Andrew Pottle. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, I thought Jeff made that. I have to share. That was really funny, Andrew. I'm gonna call that guy. I'm gonna call Andrew Daniel for the rest of my damn life.
Knock it off. You know, just some easy breezy quick booze news today. One, you know, Topo Chico hard seltzers dropped. We talked about them. They came out.
Huh, that's how it goes.
You know, Mike, it was Coca-Cola. They're out. You know, we're always talking seltzers here, so we don't have to do the biggest deep dive, but those are out if you want to go and drink them. And on another thing on the seltzer front, I had one that I liked called Hoppy Refresher by Lagunitas. Have you guys had that?
Mm. Oh, I've heard of that. No, I haven't had it.
Oh, I should clarify. It's not hard. It's a non-alcoholic. The first non-alcoholic product of the modern era that I thought was worthwhile. It's a seltzer that's made with hops. So it's just kind of nice. And it tastes like you're having a little pine cone.
So it's got like a little bit of a beery taste.
It has a little bit of an IPA aftertaste, and it's in a nice glass bottle, and it gives you a little bit of the vibe of having a beer without having to have any alcohol. It makes your breath kind of hoppy.
All right. I'll go for it.
Get on out there and check it out. Now, Mike, I understand you had some booze news.
I got something a little different than booze news. I'm introducing a new feature here on booze news. It's booze news fun facts. I've got a little fun fact thing. But, our guys put together our team, whoever, puts together a little opening package for booze news fun facts, and I'll launch into it.
Booze news fun facts. Because facts are fun. Brought to you by Apple TV Plus. It's TV with a plus.
Whoa.
Okay, whoa. This is Booze News Fun Facts.
You have such a big sponsor for this segment that me and Jeff are not a part of.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, I don't get the ad bucks by bringing YouTube bozos around.
Yeah, that's true.
Fun fact time. So Matthew McConaughey, he's got a brother who's older than him, I think, and his name's Rooster. And this guy... He's a businessman from Texas. He started an oil pipe business, and he made his first million by the time he was 30. He's got a show called Rooster and Butch. I don't know if it's on anymore, but it's kind of like a Shark Tank thing down in Texas. And he's this big, like, drinking Texas millionaire guy who always has a Miller Lite in his hand. And he named one of his sons Miller Lite.
No.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And Lite is spelled L-Y-T-E. And... that's the kid's name. They probably just call him Miller. But and for the brand, for his brand loyalty, the Miller Lite company sent him a year's supply of Miller Lite.
Holy shit.
And it was 24 cans or 24 cases, I think. It was 576 beers total. So that's like one and a half beers a day.
Oh boy.
So yeah, you name your kid after a beer, you get that beer for a year.
I wonder if they had a family feud over the fact that in True Detective, Matthew famously drank Lone Star, the Texas beer.
It ended the family.
Oh, it ended the family.
The whole family, yeah. That everyone.
So I was right. They all each piece of the family divorced the other pieces, and now they're just a bunch of people.
And so this article I was reading too says, and although McConaughey loves his beer, it turns out he has a major soft spot for another one of America's favorite adult beverages. Miller Lite has an older sister named Margarita Olympia.
Oh.
But it turns out this was actually a family name. Great coincidence.
Oh. Because not only is Margarita a cocktail, Olympia is a beer from Washington State.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right. So yeah, that's the booze news fun fact of today. We're just kind of keeping it light, something fun. That's not really news, but it's something you like to think about. So
truth be told, Mike, that was fucking awesome, man.
That was great.
Thanks.
I was nervous. I thought you were going to take booze news in a wacky direction.
No, me too. I was scared that maybe like a Zuby Condorino was going to show up or something like that.
You were scared of that?
Yes, my teeth were chattering.
Yeah, I thought terrifying. We talked off pod, and you said we loved Zuby Condorino. We want to see more of him.
Just because we love him doesn't mean we're not scared when he appears
shitless
on the pod. What's so scary about him? The reason that he doesn't need to be on the podcast at all? The reason that he's a long segment?
I just don't think I know. I mean, to anyone who didn't hear, this was a guy that came on once and did a film review for us. And I think my thing was I don't know what his whole deal was.
Yeah. Well, he showed up and he talked about a...
Tom and Jerry movie.
Yeah, he showed up on our booze podcast and he was...
Yeah.
an eccentric who talked.
He's a character. He's a character, Zubin Khadri. He's such a character of a guy.
He talked about Tom and Jerry for about 6.5 minutes.
It wasn't that long. It felt longer. So yeah, maybe Zuby's going to come back. Maybe somebody else will come back. I don't know. But that's up to
either
the
way,
fans.
This was good, Mike. This was very good.
This was good. Yeah. This was a refreshing.
This is what we're going for.
Yeah.
Yes. Like in general, if you need a little shorthand, like we're just like think like Tim and Jeff, like when things are good.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, let's wrap up Booze News Fun Facts.
All right.
And quite frankly, this wraps up Booze News entirely.
Well, hold on. Before we wrap up Booze News entirely, I have an update about the IBA website.
Mm.
Still down.
Oh.
Booze News Fun Facts.
I like this NPR.
Because facts are fun. Brought to you by McDonald's. It's Donald's with a Mick.
McDonald's now?
McDonald's?
Yeah. How much are you pulling in off these deals?
I'm not pulling anything off. I told them I'll buy some of your hamburgers or I'll watch more Ted Lasso's when it comes out if you just let me use your name.
And they're like, fine, you have to watch 200 Ted Lasso's.
So you're indebted to them?
Yeah, because that's big for us.
Yeah, because when a McDonald's lends their name to you, it really legitimizes your fun fact.
Right. In the whole podcast, all rising tides raise all ships, as they say.
Like, I got to say, it is so refreshing in this era to hear actual facts because we live in a time with like alternative facts.
Yeah, yes.
Now it's like, oh, who's facts?
Yes.
Who's science?
Right.
Yes.
You know?
Sure.
So we are all in agreement.
Crazy. Just crazy. No, that's crazy stuff.
You guys want to get into the cocktail of the day?
Sure.
The drink. What's day in French?
Le beverage du jour.
Du jour. Le beverage.
Here's what I would like to do. I'm going to paint a few pictures for you guys, okay? These are scenarios that took place within the last calendar year. And you listen to them and you tell me if you could see what they all have in common, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
First up, pop sensation Dua Lipa is photographed by paparazzi doing yoga poolside with a certain colorful cocktail at her side.
Interesting.
Next, the hip young ladies of the Drunken Canal come up with the idea for their underground newspaper while sitting in Tompkins Square Park, sipping on a certain cool, bubbly beverage.
Oh, I'm not familiar
Sprite
with
Sprite 7-Up. I don't know what he's talking about.
This collective.
Stanley Tucci is in Milan shooting an episode of his CNN series Searching for Italy. He stops into a bar for the perfect afternoon aperitivo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think these three things had in common?
COVID.
COVID era. Yeah.
I'm curious if it's what soft drink it is, if it's even something we can
drink,
get in the U.S.
They, all of these things that happened last year that were written about in articles that I just read included a certain drink called the Aperol Spritz.
Oh, ooh. The drink of the day, the beverage de jour.
This is the drink of the moment.
This is the drink of the moment. You've had?
I have not had.
I've not had.
Neither of you have.
You've had?
I feel like that was
a fun one. Yeah, let's bring that back. You had?
Yeah. You have had? I have not had.
It's a normal way to talk, to turn to someone and say, you've had.
Changing the tenor of your voice. So yeah, this is you've had.
Well, I like that you guys haven't had. I've had it, but I'd like to know, having not tasted the thing, who, what, where do you associate with this beverage?
I associate this with West Hollywood, WeHo. You're out at brunch. You're out on the veranda.
Oh, the veranda.
The veranda. Yeah, like Dua Lipa, the poolside. I don't know about doing yoga with a drink like this, but poolside.
Oh, that's why that went viral. She's doing yoga, but she's wearing jeans, and she's got an Aperol Spritz going, and she's taking sips during yoga. This was just this past Christmas.
Apple bottom jeans?
It says boots with the fur. No.
We can only infer.
Duddy, what do you think about what do you think, Spritz?
You know, this just, we're getting back into this territory of the Red Bitter Brothers. And, you know, I kind of, I've got cautious optimism going into this episode. Right. I think I'm going to like it. I think I'm going to like it more than the others, but I just don't know.
It seems like something that you would like, that I would like, that one would like, because it's spritzy, it's Aperol-y, it's sort of in the zeitgeist. Yes,
you do make a point about it being spritzy. Spritzy.
Jim, would you cut me off, please? Just get to the facts about this goddamn drink.
No, but okay, you mentioned zeitgeisty, but you guys are aware that this drink had a mega boom fairly recently, right?
Huge.
And
let me hear you say yayo. There we go.
Yayo. And now, Jeff, it's appropriate that you brought up the Bitter Brothers, and I think you're kind of winking at Campari.
Yes, I am.
And Mike's old
ashy brother Luxardo,
the ashy sister drink Luxardo Bitter, because that's going to come into play. Here's a little nutshell history of this drink. It is an old one in the 1800s, right? Northern Italy.
Yes.
1800s, that doesn't feel like the drink of the moment.
Well, that's why you got to listen close. So there's a war going on, and there's Austrian soldiers occupying northern Italy. Mm. And oh my God, we're there. It's 1800s, so there's no automatic weapons or sirens. There you go. And. Okay, so there's Austrian soldiers occupying northern Italy, and they don't like, the wine is too strong for them in Italy. They want to sip a low alcohol, gentle wine. These are some Bavarian dudes, and what do? They splash some sparkling water into their wine. So that, and then the spritz is born. Spritz is like a German word for splash. And it's just when you put water in wine. It's that simple.
Don't spritz me. I was at a pool in Berlin once. That's what they kept yelling. Don't spritz me. Don't spritz me.
So you were spritzing everyone, and then they were trying to put an end
spritz
to that.
Everybody. I didn't know. Having some fun.
So it's just water in wine, or when you put anything in wine, but then that catches on in Italy, and it's a daytime drink. And we know that from the Negroni, these Italians, they like to while away the afternoon at a cafe. So from that spritz, then they've got other ones. They start putting the Bitter Brothers into their Prosecco. And by the 50s, there is like, okay, the aperitifs are officially going in the Prosecco. And this is... this is a thing here. When you come to Italy, the tourists are seeing it. They're loving it. It's sweet. It's low alcohol. It's gentle. And it remains very cool in Italy for decades until 2003, the Campari company acquires Aperol. I didn't know that. Oh. Campari owns Aperol. This whole time we've been comparing and contrasting.
The whole time?
It owns them, but has it pwned them?
No, it says here, own but not pwned yet.
It says that?
Yeah, that's the official hashtag.
Oh.
So when Campari gets in control of Aperol, they say, well, the spritz is going to be our way to get Aperol big in America. And they start advertising it. And then in the 20-teens, when Americans are into cocktails, Campari does like a full court press. And you could have guessed this. This is another one of these like ad campaign drinks. But the ad campaign worked.
We've seen it before.
You've seen it before, and it always works. What did we see? The mule,
Fireball.
Right? Yeah, the Fireball guy. Uh-huh. These guys target rich people specifically. So they go to the Hamptons, and there's like a little cart driving around the summer giving out free spritzes to people at the beach in the Hamptons. And the bus that takes you from Manhattan out to the Hamptons on the weekends has a huge Aperol logo wrapped around it. And on the West Coast, you got
a drink like this before.
That's a New York guy on his way to the Hamptons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely cracking.
And now let's hear this one. On the West Coast, Mike.
Yeah, dude.
At the pool party music festival Splash House in Palm Springs. That's sponsored by Aperol.
Never heard of it. Splash House? They probably don't advertise to guys like me.
How the hell have we not been invited to the Splash House?
Wait, have we checked our emails?
Hmm. Well, it could have been. They could have gotten word of what I was up to in Germany, in Berlin that one time.
We don't want this guy spritzing out here.
Don't spritz me.
And the advertising works because this drink is so damn Instagrammable. It's a nice pinky orange. You hold it up to the sun. You take a picture. It's viral. Then the celebrities are getting in the mix. Benedict Cumberbatch says that he loves them.
Oh.
Matches me hair, it does.
You know that they're drinking them in the second season of Master of None. They wouldn't let that trend slip by them.
Right.
And eventually, 2018 is kind of like officially amongst bloggers, it's the summer of the spritz. It's everywhere. Everybody's drinking them. But then as the summer of 2019 is coming, and you remember the summer of 2019, Sloppy Boys are releasing their hit album, Dancing on the Wind. Trump era. Anyway, just as that summer's starting, the New York Times puts out a big clickbait article that says the Aperol Spritz is a bad drink. And then by the end of that day, every single newspaper has weighed in saying, actually, the spritz is actually kind of good. And it's a whole fucking pile of opinions. And some people are saying you should have different spritz, maybe the Campari spritz, maybe the Amaro spritz. But it kind of did become a thing that it was getting shit on very hard. So I was almost very interested to see that Dua Lipa and Stanley Tucci are still promoting it, because at this point, we're kind of 3 years into peak Aperol spritz, and it's time for the Sloppy Boys to mix them up.
Yeah, baby.
It's time for us to give the final, is this thing going to continue on for this summer? Or are we done with it?
Maybe we're kind of making a ruling here. If you want to have a sloppy spring with the Sloppy Boys, you have to adhere to what we decide here today.
Yes. I like that.
And if you're caught having one, if we don't like it, you're out.
We'll whip your bony little ass.
We're going to encrypt our show so you can't listen anymore.
But we might like it. We might like the drink.
Yeah. We might love
it. And then drink it all you want.
I've had them before and I liked them. So, but I haven't made this recipe. Here's how you make this thing. I like this recipe because we're big fans of equal parts, and this is not equal parts, but it's easy to remember. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Blast off.
3 ounces of Prosecco, 2 ounces of Aperol, 1 ounce of club soda, add ingredients in a wine glass full of ice and stir. Garnish with an orange slice.
Ooh,
very cool. Very cool. Very chill.
In a
very
wine chill. Glass.
In a wine glass.
So we're not shaking this thing up. We're not doing
that shaking
stuff.
Because
you
it's bubbly,
shake
Michael.
Up, bubbles. Yeah.
What, you guys going stemless? You got stems on there? What are you doing?
Mike, you look crestfallen.
No, I'm rolling with it. I'm feeling good here.
All right. Well, anything else?
No, I think we go mix them up and then we see whether the Aperol spritz is crapperol shits.
Great. Folks, we'll be right back.
Hey, folks, it's me, Miley. Sorry, Mike. It's Mike. Anyway, a lot of people ask me what I do when I'm not whipping up cocktails. Well, I like to listen to podcasts just like you. And me? I love a good music podcast. And there's this band, Don't Stop or We'll Die. They're a weirdo rock band that the Sloppy Boys actually tour with weird, funny songs like I Got a Perm for My Camping Trip and Where Can a Nerd Find an Egg That's Square, a personal favorite of mine. So you're asking, what are these maniacs up to? Well, they got a new weekly podcast called Song a Week, where co-hosts and Don't Stop or We'll Die songwriters Michael Cassidy and Paul Russ debut a brand new, fully produced song every Wednesday. Crazy. Every single week. We're talking new songs like A Flower in My Garden.
I got a flower in my garden. He got a little bit of attitude.
And all songs are produced by Amin Zarukian. Song a Week comes in bite-sized episodes that are less than 20 minutes, and it's produced by Tony Thaxton. And check out their Patreon over at patreon.com/don'tstoporwilldie for extra special goodies like monthly bonus episodes, downloadable tracks, and more bizarre, funny, rockin' gems. So check out Song a Week from Don't Stop or We'll Die. You will love it!
Sun is reaching to the sun.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you got to get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something, and you go, I just got to tell someone this, I just got to fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That of course is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell the therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest. Have a great time.
Okay. Ooh, Tim, I like how you did the orange there. You got the whole wheel.
Yeah, big old wheel.
Not me. Ooh. I went with the wedge, a chubby wedge.
You went with the wedge?
I went with a little slice of skin.
Oh, like an old fashioned.
That's right.
Oh, cool.
I went with the wedge salad. I kind of went a different way.
Oh, they meant to do like a big thing of orange like that? Oh, wow.
They didn't specify, did they?
Yeah, I think it's usually like I did a full wheel. I think it's more like a half wheel just dunked in there. And it's kind of like the Negroni where you could use your orange to stir it up a little bit if you
want. Ah, yes. Wow. Well, this looks fantastic.
Ready for sips?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I can see. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Come on now.
I feel like Dua Lipa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bending up like a pretzel.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Benedict Cumberbatch in that one interview I read.
And I feel like that person in the 1850s.
I mean, that is a daytime drink, right?
Yeah.
It's a daytimer, yeah. This is a, boy, this doesn't even taste like any alcohol in here.
I mean, it's low. I think Aperol is like 11%. And then, you know, Prosecco is just like champagne percentage. So we're getting down there.
This Prosecco is also 11%.
Yeah.
This is La Marca Prosecco.
And we determined last time that the Aperol is like a sweeter, lighter Campari.
Yes.
So this is even sweeter and lighter than Aperol.
Mm. And if you don't have Aperol and you want to make some, we said mix Campari with simple syrup. This, you know what's funny is I also think I'm loving this and it makes me want to do a real daytime chug. But the soda's important too, because if you just had like champagne and then you added something sweet to it, it would start to be like a sugary, gross thing. But watering it down a little bit is nice.
Just water. Hold on. Bubbles.
I got to say, keep talking. I got to see what I use. Hold on.
What did you use? Jeff, I just had Brut. I didn't have any Prosecco. Did you have Prosecco?
I found some Korbel Prosecco, I think. And, you know, I wish they had smaller bottles of Prosecco because I'm not going to go through that.
I think, is Prosecco just that champagne's from France, whereas Prosecco is from Italy?
I believe so.
So I used sparkling seltzer water for this. Was that right?
No.
For the soda part or for the wine part?
For the soda part.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Our recipe said club soda, but you know, if you're in Italy, I bet they're using San Pellegrino.
Right. That's what I thought when I was in the grocery store aisle, trying on my phone, seeing is club soda the same thing as sparkling water and not getting a signal on my phone.
I got a little Schweppes.
This is good. I just took a little taste of the Prosecco on its own, and I do not like it. I don't really like champagne merit very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we talked about this in the mimosa episode. Hanny does not like champagne.
But I'll drink this stuff. If we're raising a toast on New Year's Eve, sure.
That's a good point though. I prefer mimosa to this personally. You know, because it's this without the bitter.
You like mimosa more than this?
Yes.
You're getting pretty bitter over there, I see.
Well,
I think I did it properly. I did it to the letter of the law.
Yeah,
I'm starting to think that you have the most bitter thing present is Jeff's attitude.
You know what might be getting me here? Because this feels pretty like light to me. The ice cubes I'm using, I've done this before. I put them in the tray, you know, and put them in the freezer, and I brought them out, and they still had like water on the inside of them. They were cubes, but like. With waters.
Yeah, they're like little aquariums.
Well, it's right. Yeah, we have talked about this because I remember you saying little aquariums. So that's what's going on over here. It is a nice big hole one right there.
I don't like those aquariums, but I think that warm ice is actually a thing that can... I was just watching a YouTube video with this Japanese cocktail master who was making some sort of whiskey cocktail. Okay. And he had this big... a big block of ice, and he brought it out and he says, the ice is too cold, so I'm going to warm it up. And he wanted it to get more see-through and more kind of glassy. He was like pouring like water on it and like hugging it with a towel. And
is that how you do it?
Well, because he wanted to chop it with a machete.
Okay.
So, and he couldn't get the knife through it. So yeah, he was like laying a towel on it.
It's like massaging it.
I guess you could just sit it out on the counter for a long time if you want.
Well, like ice sculptures are like ice luges. They're all usually clear ice.
Yeah, they're not like a big
cloudy. I don't know if that's a different type of water or what, but.
Huh.
Now, here's a question for you. Japanese, what are like Japanese cocktails? That would be interesting.
Highballs?
Like sake is the only thing I know.
They make really good whiskey in Japan. So a nice tall highball that's just a little bit of whiskey with a lot of club soda. That's popular over there.
Cool. Japan would be a fun. We got to do a drinking trip out to Japan. That would be fun.
Oh my god!
Three of us. Of course. Come on,
dude.
If somebody pays for it, we should do it.
That's true. If it's a free trip to go have the time of our lives,
Then we should
visit their whiskey distilleries, and they put us up at this nice hotel. Maybe the one from Lost Translation, something like that. We should definitely do that.
There's that one neighborhood that's all these little bars that only fit like two or three stools, and you can go to like 20 bars in a.
That's good.
I've seen pictures of those. They look neat.
And there's three of us, so we'll just stand outside and be like, "Everybody out!
Get your butt out there right now!"
Oh my god! It's the Sloppy Boys. They came from America. We're paying for it. The Japanese taxes are paying for this.
Why did we fly them out?
The Japanese government flew them here.
We love them.
This was our big diplomacy move of the century.
Our buddy Jack Schramm was also saying that shaken cocktails with that like snowy, you know, when you shake a cocktail and you get those like crystalline bits on top of a drink, that's a big Japanese move.
Mm. Oh yeah. That was another thing I saw is a Japanese guy was making a martini and he had invented the extra hard shake and he shook the shit out of it.
He put it in like a Home Depot paint shaker.
Yeah. And his martini had a whole layer of those shards on top. Like,
oh, really like thick. A slush puppy.
What was his, we got to post a video of like his extra hard shake.
Yeah, I think it was at the Shaky Shithead.
Well, like,
which is weird because he was a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he named himself.
He named himself that. All right. It's up to him.
It's weird. You've seen some people, they have like a triple shake. Mm-hmm. Like they do like a shake up above their head. And then as they bring their whole arm down, they get like a mid body shake. And then they have like a down by their hip shake. So it's like,
I know. Yeah. I can't do that. It seems like the same rhythm as doing like a speed bag, a punching bag.
Yes.
Which you're really good at, but you just can't think of doing that with a, yeah. I've seen you with the boxing.
I'm really good at the timing of the speed bag, but I can never reach it. I can never get up that high. I'm 4'9", by the way. That never really came up on the podcast before.
Yeah, we haven't said our heights. 4'9" for Tim. Jeff?
I think all 4'9", right?
You wouldn't believe it. 7'11".
That's fun. Because obviously the store. And yes, 4'9" for me too. So we got 2 4'9"s and a 7'11".
I didn't know about the whole height thing until fairly recently. Like there's so much talk on Twitter and stuff about how women like tall guys, and then tall guys on Tinder will be like 6'4" if that matters to you. Or mm-hmm. I was oblivious to the whole, because I'm sort of that height where it doesn't, I'm not tall or short, so I don't ever think about it. It's just not on my radar.
You're 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean 4'9".
I'm 4'9".
You are like 6 feet though, right?
I'm 6 feet. So that means anyone taller than me is tall. Uh-huh. And people shorter than me are not necessarily short, but it's almost just like, it's kind of just plain, you know, it's just like original recipe.
And Mike, you're 5'11".
Well, Tim, I happen to be
6 feet
myself.
Are you six?
5'11", but I'm starting to say six. And you know what? I actually kind of like it, Tim. And I think it's pretty neat.
Are you getting that growth spurt?
Yeah, I'm standing up straighter these days. I'm working on my posture.
That late 30s, that very last growth spurt.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing about height that it's all about the proportion too, because like from a distance, like I think of Mike as being way taller than me because you're lanky and I'm wider. I'm like, my whole body is a square. But you know what's like, think of John Lennon, who we one time played some authentic audio of in the Brandy Alexander episode.
Oh, we know him from the Beatles too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Think of John Lennon in the Beatles, and then the middle era Beatles, he got a little pudgy and he kind of looks like a short guy. But then when you think of like 70s John Lennon with the long hair hanging out with Yoko, he looks really tall.
Right.
But it's just because he got thin.
It's the clothing.
It's the Ichabod Crane effect.
Mm.
So if I didn't eat for a few months, I would look like the world's tallest man.
Wow.
Cool. This drink is great.
I finished it.
Yeah.
I really want to drink it in the after. I feel like outdoor cafe kind of a thing. Maybe watching some sort of outdoor event. Maybe somebody's playing a sport.
This seems like it would be a good at like a racetrack or something like a.
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby.
Or like the cemetery screening at the Hollywood Cemetery.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Give me an outdoor thing.
You know, you're digging up some corpses and you need to cool down.
You know, picking off the jewelry. Yeah. Yeah.
I would like this with a little more flavor to it. Maybe it probably is the ice or something, or maybe I put too much.
No, the ice is not fucking up. No, the ice. Oh,
no,
yeah,
I think
because
the aquariums are opening up and they're gushing water.
But everything else was to the letter of the law. I feel like I want more of a kick on that flavor. Maybe a little more
orange. I have a pitch for you. Mm. Campari spritz, right? It'll be less sweet and it'll be more bitter.
Mm-mm.
And maybe more ashy.
That's not the taste I'm after, though. I'm after this orange taste that's right behind my tongue.
Well, there's your answer.
You don't You don't like mimosas, though.
But so it's like this tastes, there's something there. It's like a orange soda. Maybe I want orange soda in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want orange soda.
Put in some slice.
Wanna Fanta.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Michael, you are an enigma.
Ooh. You can't pin me down. I want to ask you guys about something. I don't know if you heard this, but did you hear, this was just in this past year, too. Faith Hill came out with an Aperol Spritz song.
No.
Faith Hill, yeah.
Oh,
I know Faith Hill, country star.
Yep, country star. She came out with a song. It kind of, I think it was like on a big, I think she came out when the election results also came out.
So I know, like, what happened is for me,
buried.
I was, because I'm sort of like a political junkie.
Yeah.
So I feel like that day I was really watching the election.
Yes. And she was like, she planned it. So it was like, it's not going to come out on election day. But as we know, you know,
right.
That was Kornacki's week. It'll go down in history as Kornacki's week.
You know, I hope that Kornacki got to have a few Aperol spritzes after all that.
Kornacki, I can do a whole podcast on that guy. Maybe that'll be a blowout.
It's Knack week.
It's Knack week. But yeah, so this song she did, it came out. People kind of went unnoticed. But we'll take a listen to it in just a second. There's something, there's the producer she worked with, you'll see what happened, and some kind of weird goes on with it. But yeah, this is Faith Hill, her Aperol Spritz drink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a drink that's yellow with an orangey tint. It was big in the 50s.
An angel.
And in 2019, it's that popular cocktail. It's served with some ice. This spritz. It's Aperol. This spritz.
What?
Remix.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Okay,
here we go.
It isn't Lil Throwing, Dr. Benedict.
It's coming. Chugging on a spritz, getting rowdy at the club. Aperol, bitch, raise the roof like a thug. App, Aperol. Spritz for all.
Oh.
Oh.
Still down.
Oh.
Yep. It's times like these. We wish we had a big crew.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah. No.
We buy them all drinks.
Ugh.
No IOUs. Drinks are on us tonight.
We'd be gracious with a Monday.
Aperol Spritz tonight.
Why are they so cool?
Faith Hill.
Gremlins.
Thriller.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
A Dr. Benedicto.
Oh, God.
Ooh. You wild Faith.
It's gross.
You are too, guys.
Oh, Faith's still there, yeah.
One
small step. Oh, no!
Nirvana!
Always!
One giant leap.
Miss Lewinsky.
Guys, they ruined music. I mean, that was a good song. Faith Hill had a great song.
Yeah,
we were having so much fun listening to Faith Hill.
Little Thriller and Dr. Benedicto, we've had them on the show before. They're just awful artists.
They're weird, they're off-putting, they use too many samples of like historical 20th century president stuff.
Right.
And then also like their kitchen sinky and their songs they do too much.
They stop and get into a whole different thing.
And I got to say, you know, it makes me nervous that they're working with bigger artists now. Like,
I know.
Me too.
You know how annoying it is to see somebody like fail up?
Oh,
where you're like, well, that guy, you know, he sucks or whatever. He gets a lot of attention, but it sucks. And then suddenly they keep getting more and more chances and they become more and more legitimate. It's like, these guys aren't good. Did we ever stop to think that they were any good?
Right. And it's just a runaway train.
No, Jeff, when I was listening to the Faith Hill song and those guys came on, I had a panic attack.
Oh, I totally know you mean, Mike, because me? I threw open my mouth a little bit.
Yes. Oh, boy. Yes. I was like, this is not chill vibes.
Faith, if you listen to this podcast, like, we just want you to know you're a great pop country star, and you don't have to, like, if you want ideas for people to collaborate, ask us and we'll pitch you some better people.
Aperol Spritz tonight. I mean, it does, if it just wasn't those two guys, it is kind of a cool song, but I hate that.
They
song.
Are, I'll give them this, like, they are gifted with melody. Like, you can tell here and there, but they're just, they just rub me the wrong way.
They're just bad. Bad.
Do you guys want to go make another round?
Yes.
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 Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
And we're back.
Drinks in hand.
Okay.
I did a funny thing. Did you guys try something new?
I tried a little something new in my spritz.
What do you got?
I did the same ingredients, 3, 2, 1, and then I added a 1/2 ounce of lime juice.
Oh.
And what's the verdict?
Oh, it shit. Just you know, a little bit of what?
I'm going to do that right now.
Whoa,
I love a lime.
Were you just doing the regular Aperol?
Yeah.
Spritz?
Yeah.
Mm.
But you've become inspired.
It gives a little, go ahead, Jeff, go ahead. A
little kick.
It gives a little bit of a extra sourness, which is nice. You know, I realized too, like, when there's like takes on drinks, you don't have to go like some crazy wild thing. Like a lime fits nicely into this. Right. I don't know why, but it seems...
You don't need to have to change the name of the cocktail. It's just like, you could be at a restaurant and order an Aperol Spritz with a splash of lime. They say, yes, Mr. Hanford.
Yeah. Could I have a...
Mr. Hanford, you've already had 12.
Well, I'm staying at this hotel. Sir, this is not a hotel. Then who did I give my luggage to, sir?
Sir, this is an Arby's.
Ooh, this looks good, Mike. This is... Ooh, honestly, Mike... That counterbalances the bitter for me real good.
Nice. There you go.
Real good.
I hope you remember that when you're grading this drink at the end.
Michael Hanford's Test Kitchen has cracked the case on an
open for business.
Here's what I did. Did you guys see when we did the Negroni on the show? We had some people send us this variation on it, which is there's this funny drink. It's got a bad name and a name that is better. But have you heard of the Hobo Negroni?
No. I've heard of that. What is that?
People don't say, because there's no reason to make fun of the unhoused while drinking drink. But basically what it is a Miller High Life that you take a sip out of it, and then you top it off with Campari, and it turns it red and gives it a little bitterness.
Interesting.
And then I was just reading about those, and you can make it with Aperol as well, if you like it a little sweet. And it's come to be known as the Spaghetti. Like the Tim Heidecker character, Spaghetti.
Wait, is it related
named after him
to Spaghetti?
I do think so. I think that it's like you're putting in a Italian aperitif into your beer, so it's like Spaghetti. So I think people are thinking of like, what's a funny low class Spaghetti?
Yeah.
When you think of Spaghetti, the Spaghetti he eats is disgusting.
And it's probably like college kids doing that stuff anyway.
I didn't have any.
Should they be studying, Jeff?
I do think it is a college thing. I didn't have any Miller High Lifes, but I had a Michelob Ultra, and I just made an Aperol and Michelob Ultra Spaghetti, and it's fantastic.
That's cool.
If you've got a really light beer, it's a great thing to do.
You know what? This drink just reminds me of how far we've come.
What do you mean? In this pod or in human existence?
This is a new drink. This is nothing like we used to drink back in the old stink house.
So you're kind of saying like started from the bottom, now we're here.
Oh,
started from the bottom, now the whole team's up in here.
It is, but also Tim.
Now all my friends are here.
Also, Tim, it reminds me of a story from the good old days.
Oh. Ooh.
Here we have a classy, refined Italian drink.
Yeah.
But things weren't always that way for us, were they?
No.
No, no, no. In fact,
I feel like you should be whittling a stick while you tell us this. Continue.
I remember one time our boy Timmy was forcefully removed from a bar.
Oh boy. Was this
not forcefully removed.
Chased out.
Is this different than the time that I had new sambas? I just bought some new sambas.
You know, you're going to have to comment on the sambas.
I don't know if I've ever heard the sambas in this story.
Well, I'm going to start.
Maybe it's different.
This will be sort of like a Rashomon thing. I'll tell the story from my point of view, and then Tim can jump in with like his whole thing.
Yeah.
I have to say Rashomon is like one of my favorite plays, but
that's perfect. So this was a bar in Echo Park, I want to say.
Oh, still is a bar in Echo Park.
Yes.
And we were there, all of us, and Dave Ferguson was there, and it was towards the end of the night, and I was talking to a young woman.
Jefferson!
And all I remember hearing was, "Come on, Jeffy, we gotta go." And I saw a flash. And Tim ran down the bar and swept the glassware off the bar onto the floor.
They were cleaning up for the night and like putting all the empties like up on the bar. A lot. I mean, it was a lot.
Now, what I've come to realize is that there was an altercation beforehand, right?
Yes.
What if there wasn't? What if that was?
It was just you being a fucking prick.
Wait, so but finish from your point of view. What you just you pretended you didn't know me?
I just pretended I didn't hear you because I was spitting game.
You were macking.
And
I've seen you spit game, and it's not pleasant.
You know, I'm thinking about starting a podcast someday.
It's awkward.
Yeah. And I don't need any help or distractions from my friends who are getting into tiffs with the
You know, a lot
staff.
Of people thought Greedo shot first, but I have heavy evidence that that's not the case.
Well, the night did not go my way, but I do remember driving around on side streets after the bar was closed looking for Tim.
Yeah, Tim ran up into the hills, and the bartender, the bouncer chased you.
Yes. So
he chased you through the neighborhood.
Tim, take us through your account.
Well, it's very Rashomon-esque because there is so much context where You mentioned our friend Dave Ferguson of Birthday Boys fame, fame, the TV writer. I was defending my boy's honor. Here we are at this dive bar and a place that I liked. And actually,
we can't say the name because you were told never to come back.
It was old management back then.
I don't know.
Is it still even the same place? Or because I've been back, I was banned, but I've been back and they didn't notice me. Maybe because I had such a glow up. They said, don't come back unless you have a glow up. So, you know, when you're at a bar and it's the end of the night, it's after last call, they're closing down. And you know, when the guys kind of are like, get the fuck out of here. We're closing down. And hey, I worked in food service for 7 years. So I know what it's like to be at the end of a shift and wanting to get home. But some bros tend to get a little aggro at the end of the night. But it was a very chill night. And then when they started to say, hey, everybody, we're closing up. Some bartenders were totally normal.
Yep.
Hey, we're closing up. Can you guys finish your drinks and let's move out? And then there's this one guy. I don't know if you saw him, but he was bearded and kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if he worked there.
Oh, I hope he worked there.
He didn't look like. Okay, go on. But he didn't look like.
That's a whole nother Rashomon. Let's stick with
maybe
this
he's
story.
An undercover agent. This guy walks up to Dave Ferguson is still sitting on a stool. And the guy walks up and goes, you guys got to go. And he grabs the stool that's under Dave's butt and he pulls on it, pulling a stool out from him. And then Dave stands up kind of just in the nick of time to not fall over. And then most mild mannered, nice guy you could ever meet, Dave, was pissed off that the guy pulled the stool out. So Dave kind of kicked the stool as the guy was pulling it out from under him. Mm. And like without missing a beat, the guy took a swing at Dave, like threw a punch at Dave.
Mm. Missed him, right?
Dave ducked. Dave. This is big Dave.
Peter Parker reflexes on this guy.
Yeah. His spidey senses were definitely tingling on this day. He kicked the stool, ducked the punch. It was a big haymaker, like huge punch that the guy missed. And it was just crazy that he threw a punch. So I was defending Dave's honor and I got up in his face. And when I do such things, I'm also being a little weasel. So I didn't say normal things like, you can't do that. I was being like, you fuck. Listen, the customer is always right.
The customer is always right. I remember. Yeah.
And then before this guy could punch me, some employee of the club held him back. So, and was putting out that fire. So as on my way out of the club, now very pissed off, I noticed end of the night, they had piled 200 glasses on top of the bar. And I
swept
held out
it.
I held out my arm and I ran down the bar and swept it. Hey, no other way to say it. I swept it.
You swept the bar.
But you did spot your boy Jeffy out of your left
eye. But that's what's funny is I do remember this part where I looked at you and in my mind, I think like, oh, everyone's going to know Jeff's my friend. So we have to get him out of here too. So as I'm getting to the end of my sweep, I go, Jeffy, we gotta go. And I was expecting it would to be like Batman and Robin and we run out together. But
Jeff
instead,
having nothing to do with any of this. It should have been Dave, we have to go.
Jeff did not look up, did not make eye contact, acted like, who is that Greek guy? Don't know him.
We don't know him. Not, we don't got to talk about involved. Him. So back to Greedo.
I ran out by myself. Mm-hmm. Without my boy by my side. And I don't know what happened to Dave either. He's still in there. But the sad end of the story is I walked up the street for a little bit, hung out in Echo Park, like a block away from the bar. Mm-hmm. And then when I thought the coast was clear, I was like, oh, those guys are my ride home. So I got to go find them. It's after 2 now. So they're probably outside. And as I was walking up to the bar, I was like, oh, Tim, you can't go back toward the bar. They're going to beat the shit out of you if you go by that bar. So I was wearing a flannel shirt and I took it off.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Like a blue flannel shirt. And I just had a red T-shirt underneath. And I was like, they won't recognize me.
Perfect.
I'm pretty indistinct other than this shirt.
And I really shouldn't have done that because the bouncer who was, if you close your eyes and picture a bouncer, it was like exactly like one of those guys. was looking for me, and he saw me, and he was mad to see me. He was like walking through the neighborhood looking for me. But the fact that I had taken my shirt off, like to fool him, he was like, "You think you're gonna fucking fool me by changing your shirt?" And he fucking beat the shit out of me and just truly trounced me. He was bigger than me and madder than me and just tackled me, and I hit the ground, and then he just kicked me in the ribs. But what was funny was I still was being a little weenie because I was drunk enough that it didn't hurt. So I was going, "You're hurting me. You're hurting me." And he's fucking kicking me in the ribs as hard as he can. I'm going, "You don't understand."
Well, Tim, he has to avenge $25 worth of glassware.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And his like insane... I mean, I don't blame that guy, because if he had to clean up the shards and stuff, that is a rough night. And I was being a weenie, but it's funny to take it into your own hands and actually beat the shit out of someone. You think you would call the cops, but to just be like, "I'm going to kick this guy in the ribs." And it was that funny thing. I never felt any pain until the next day. And then I woke up and I was like truly pummeled and all black and blue, but it didn't hurt at all on the very night.
I do remember when we were sort of like cruising the nearby streets, and we did find you, and you were up on your feet, and you got in the car, and we went home.
But yeah, I don't remember
like, it. You were like that bouncer kicked the shit out of me.
Yeah, literally.
Because he didn't punch my face. So like I didn't have any, like there was no blood or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He tackled you down to the ground?
He's not trying to injure you. He's just trying to teach you a little lesson.
He did what I did to the glasses. Like he like strong, he like ran at me with his arm out and like knocked me down with an arm, and I went down.
So you, and did he said, "Don't come back"?
Yeah. He amongst some expletives.
Sure.
Oh no.
A few 4-letter words were thrown about that night. Yeah. He said, "Don't come back." And then I was scared to go back. And then it's got a whole different vibe these days. And well, I go back a lot and I like it.
It's been 10 years.
So did he, so when he was done like kicking you, did he was just like, "Okay, don't come back." And then like walked away. Like,
yeah. I mean, he won.
Because if you weren't fighting back and he's just kicking, then it's like, all right, I'm not just going to kick this guy to death.
Yeah. I don't think he wanted a murder on his record, but he fully walked back to the bar like, "I just beat the shit." Like, that's what was so weird about it. I haven't really like been in fights, so it was weird that it was such a, like, on paper, like, I got the shit kicked out of me. Like I got, like he just beat the shit out of me for like a solid minute.
I love this story is so funny because of just like the actions of it. But like, I don't remember, I must've been very drunk and I don't remember. I wasn't even like talking to anyone. I didn't see what happened to Dave. All I remember is like in my sleepy ways, just being like, "Who's going on over here?" And this, the bouncer guy who was being held back. See, I don't think he was a bouncer. He looked very like, he didn't look like he would be in the front maybe if he was a bouncer. I think he was just like one of those guys who helps out at a bar or something.
A bar back?
Something. Mm. Yeah, maybe something like that. And I just saw him being held back and Dave being like, "What's up, man?" And then seeing you saying, "We got to go," and pushing all the glasses, and then you running out, and then me running out by myself and like doing circles and be like, "What do we do? I'm not running anymore." It's just like, I'm not really sure what's happening here. So
you're throwing air punches into the night.
Yeah. I ran out and like ran across the street and just like did circles in the street. And then I didn't know where anyone was or what was going on.
Yeah. You were kind of out in the street doing some like jumps and kick flips and stuff.
Yeah. I was like, "If anyone wants to try something with me,
come at me now.
Come at me now." Yeah, that was a classic.
I'll tell you what, it makes me happy to now have an Aperol Spritz, a nice low alcohol drink that I'll drink as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No more getting drunk. I see what you're saying. Up.
Yeah, Jeff, I see what you're saying. We've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got fancy Italian drinks, but also it's nice to have one or two in the afternoon. Don't drag it out into a late night where you're in a place where you might get your ass kicked.
Right. Drink the same amount of drinks, but earlier in the day.
Yeah. And then the only one beating you up is just the people you live with.
Man.
I think we can rank this drink pretty quick for me.
Yeah.
It's an order again. I'm ordering this. This is like I would do this for brunch because I know that I have a tough time finding a brunch drink.
Yeah. Michael, I'm with you. Oh, it's an order again.
Yes.
Yes.
With any appointment?
I came around. No appointment necessary.
Wow.
Nice.
No certain distinction?
No, no distinctions whatsoever. a little splash of lime juice, though. Even better.
Yeah, that did help. Mm. I like that a lot.
It balances it a little bit. Just because, like, you know, you get that. There's a nagging quality to Aperol and Campari that just balances a little bit. I mean, I will say now it tastes more just like anything else. Like a refreshing, fruity thing. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's Jay's way.
Aww. I also would have many rounds. Great drink. I'm looking forward to having a few of these during the spring. Mm. And folks, try the spaghetti. Put a little dash of Aperol or Campari into your beer. It's fun.
Tim's drinking this poolside.
That's right. Much like Dua Lipa, I'm going to get my jeans on.
Yeah.
Have a little future nostalgia.
Folks, that's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. But also be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. We just welcomed our newest subscriber, Matthew Forbush. You can join Matthew and other slopheads at patreon.com/thesloppyboys. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Spring has sprung.
Stop spritzing me.